Well, happy Thursday. Hope you are staying dry wherever you may happen to be. And more showers on the way for the rest of today and probably into the weekend as well. If we were tomato plants, we could really enjoy this weather, huh? Welcome to Perspectives, because it is Thursday, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in, and you are always invited to be a part of the conversation by calling 414-1234. If it's local, if it's long distance, it's 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. And if you want to tweet us, that's cool too. It's at WFSU Perspective using that. There have been so many changes in media and news and the way that that information is communicated, particularly during the past probably dozen years or so. And that process seems to be accelerating as we go. No more so the changes coming than in the print arena. As we know, there are an awful lot of daily newspapers that are daily papers no longer. There are many organizations that have gone totally online and have foregone the old-fashioned print paper that has been a part of our way of life for so many years. And the means of communicating all that information is just changing even as we speak right now. So we thought, my gosh, let's talk about what's going on with our hometown paper here in Florida's capital city, the Tallahassee Democrat. And we invited a gentleman by the name of Skip Foster, who is publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, to be on board with us today. And we say hi to him right now. Skip, thank you for coming in, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
A little bit of background here. You were publisher of the Northwest Florida Daily News in Fort Walton Beach for how long?
Only 18 months. We lived in the same place in North Carolina, a little town called Shelby, in the same house for 15, 20 years, and then made two quick moves back to back and aren't going to be moving again anytime soon. So,
well, and a native of Lakeland, so how did you from there to North Carolina? And
I went to Suwanee, University of the South in Suwanee, Tennessee, is where I went to college, and drew a line from Texas to North Carolina and applied to every sports writing job south and east of that line. And ended up in Hickory for a few months and then the Gastonia Shelby area from 89 until, almost 20 years from then. So, and then we decided it was time to try something different and loved it in Fort Walton Beach. But when the Tallahassee position became open, I got a lot of family that went to FSU, have family that lives here now. And it just really seemed like a dream place for us. A great big small town, we call it. Feels great.
Well, your former employer there, which is both of us agree, it never should have stopped being the Playground Daily News. That was the greatest name. But yeah, you were certainly a luminary there. And my favorite story about the old Playground Daily News, in fact, it wasn't even daily then, just the Playground News. A guy by the name of Hunter S. Thompson did a sports column for the Playground News back in 1957. He was stationed at Eglin Air Force Base, and sports was also his bailiwick, just like you. And so the Lord of Gonzo Journalism got his start at your old paper, which I think is really cool. But so many changes, not just since 57, but my gosh, since really 2007. Look what's going on here at the Democrat. Knight Ritter selling out to Gannett. There were some changes there. Your predecessor had an awful lot of challenges and right-sizing, I guess the Gannett folks called it. And so where are we now? If you were to walk into the Democrat newsroom, what does it look like now in comparison to maybe even, say, 10 years ago? Fewer people, for sure.
Yeah, fewer people. I don't know what we had 10 years ago. I know that what we have now, and, you know, one of my challenges coming in was taking over an organization that had gone through a lot of these tough times. And, those are the loss of resources are difficult, but the culture that is left behind is also difficult. And so, you know, the challenge I've had is, being able to look these talented people in the eye and say, hey, you know, we can dwell on what we don't have, or we can start focusing on what we do have and what we can do. And, you know, what we do have and can do is a lot. I mean, we've got a news organization of 30 people roughly, and they are supported by, you know, production folks in other places around the country, so that, you know, we don't have to do page production and even some of the digital production as a part of that. We can focus on gathering content, and so that's really what we're focusing on is, you know, what we can do, what resources we do have, and what we have is a lot and still stacks up very well with other you know, organizations in our community.
Well, you look at some of the folks that you've had for, you know, many years. Certainly Bill Cotterell's name comes to, right. I mean, what a staple in state political coverage that guy mm-hmm. is. But if anyone knows anything about Tallahassee, it's someone like Gerald Ensley, who
right.
just is phenomenal. And we very often, you know, we'll even call Gerald and say, didn't that used to be on that corner? He'd say, no. And he'd get us all, you know, going in the right direction. And luckily we've had a traditionally, I think, you know, very amicable relationship between our shop and the Tallahassee Democrat. We've mm-hmm. never really looked at you guys as a competitor. I hope, mm-hmm. you know, you don't consider us the same. We do kind of different sorts of things.
Sure.
But taking those resources that you have, Ms. Waters covering, you know, the local beats as
right.
she does, and how do you give those guys maybe more flexibility than they might have had before, given the fact they are – preparing content for multiple platforms. It's not just the daily deadline mm-hmm. to hit the paper. It's the ongoing updates on your website, and they're supposed to be tweeting and all this
right.
other stuff too.
It's a process, and it's difficult because, you know, there's been a number of studies that show that along with the military and emergency rooms, newspapers are the most change-averse cultures that are out there. And so we're asking folks to change a lot. And but, you know, they're amazing. I mean, there's this desire, kind of relentless desire, I think, which comes from our, you know, mission of service to the community through our watchdog and other roles, to find ways to be nimble and agile and present content in all of the different ways you listed and many more. And so, you know, it's really cool when you see a Gerald Ensley, a Byron Dobson that are able to embrace social media and use that effectively. And it's a vital part of what we do, and we've got to find new ways. I mean, it's not just Twitter and Facebook. You know, how can we tap into Instagram? We've been using Periscope a little bit, which, as you know, but maybe not all your listeners do, is basically a live video application that works through Twitter and other social media channels where we can, you know, if there's a fire somewhere, we can, you know, literally bring that straight to you, and certainly more cost effectively than driving a big TV truck out there and, you know, heavens knows what those cost. So it's constantly shifting. I want to figure out Snapchat and a way to, you know, as we, you know, strive to reach millennials, how can we use these different channels and ones we don't even know exist yet to bring the content people that folks want, you know, when they want it, how they want it.
But that's also a great leveler because at one time you could say, okay, here, and I have today's Democrat here. We still get the old paper, by gosh.
Yep. And many do.
And many do. What's circulation like right now, by the way?
We're in the mid to upper 20s daily and in the 30s on Sunday. So, and you know, you combine that with 7 million page views a month, and it's still a huge audience, and in many respects a growing audience, especially we see our mobile traffic was up like something crazy, 900% 2014 over 2013. So it's audience is not the issue. We're reaching plenty of people. It's just in different ways.
Yeah, but when you go online, though, that is the great leveler because content from you, from us, from WCTV, from mm-hmm. the New York Times, I mean, it's all online. Mm-hmm. And as far as the consumer is concerned, to a degree, it's kind of all the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's why you see us focus relentlessly on local. So, you know, we're not going to there are papers that have different philosophies where you see a lot of wire news on the front page. That's just not – that's not me. What we've got is news about the panhandle, Leon County, and branching out, and that's what we can do and what we should do, in my view. And so, you know, we're not gonna try to, even when we increased our presence in the Capitol, what we said is we're not gonna follow the pack around. We're going to find things that either pertain to our local economy, our local market, our local delegation, or to state workers who are obviously a big part of our constituency. So it doesn't make any sense for us to add someone to the Capitol and then have them sitting there holding a microphone in Rick Scott's face, you know, just kind of doing whatever AP's doing. We want to do something that's unique.
Because I notice a lot of your state coverage now, and full disclosure, we also subscribe to News Service of Florida. Mm-hmm. You're using that to supplement whatever Cotterell does with his columns or whatever.
So, and that stuff isn't cheap. So why would we pay them, write them a big check, and then also have our own reporters doing virtually the same thing. So we try to not be redundant there.
And that has been a re-emphasis I've noticed here in your content is the refocusing on local content, which some people had criticized the Democrat for, oh, say within the past 5 or 6 years, you're kind of getting away from that, but now refocusing on local.
Yes, and we added some beats that had been lost. K-12 education was one. Prep sports, Brian Miller's doing a fabulous job getting that back in the paper. You know, we spent a lot of resources on FSU sports for obvious reasons, huge traffic driver. But that doesn't mean we should be ignoring what's going on in prep and in youth leagues. And then Tamarin in economic development has been a big one. Tamarin. Sorry.
Yeah, she keeps reminding me of that every time I talk.
She's out of town. Hopefully she didn't hear me say that.
We're talking to Skip Foster, who is the publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat. And we're inviting your comments and your questions to add to the conversational flow here at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 if it is long distance from you to us. Or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We got an email queued up and ready to go when we return right after this brief timeout. Back on Perspectives with the 10th publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, now celebrating its 110th anniversary this year. Big party, Skip Foster?
We did it big on the 100th, so we'll look for 125 to really blow it out.
Really kick it up. Okay. Yeah. let's go to the phones here. Let's talk to Wayne first here, who is – oh, Wayne is – okay, Wayne had a question about home delivery. You give us a call back here and we'll – because I don't want to paraphrase that for you, Wayne. I have no idea what you were going to ask. But Bill, William sent us an email wondering about the relationship, and you guys worked out a partnership on at least one thing so far with WCTV Channel 6. Mm-hmm. Well, talk about that a little bit, Skip.
This was the brainchild of Ron Sachs, Sachs Communications, PR marketing firm here, and it came in the wake of the death of the Childs High School student in a wreck, Rayburn, and that certainly touched a nerve in the community. And so the idea was that we would come together with our, you know, rivals, our competitors at WCTV, and that would send a statement kind of the community that this was more important than whatever, you know, competing we do, which to a large extent is overrated. But and so CTV, they were wonderful partners, and we were able to put together a week of awareness, is what we called it, of stories and data and videos, and we shared that across all our platforms on the issues of teen drinking and of communication between parents and teens when it comes to partying and all this kind of stuff. And so it was a very successful project, had high traffic for an engagement for us, which told us it resonated with our readers and viewers, and it was just a great partnership. I think a good – I'm really glad we did it, and I hope we can do it again.
Yes, yeah, so we see perhaps some additional partnerships in the offing depending on what the issues of the community
are. Yeah, sure. I mean, we're open to that kind of thing, and it was – there were some terrific sponsors of that partnership for that helped kind of offset the cost of our content gathering. I won't try to name those, or I'll forget one of them. But it was a great project, and we enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, people forget just how embedded the expense of actually putting together content mm-hmm. can be. It's not just the big Goss presses in the basement right. of the Democrat that need feeding with money. There's an awful – and that brings us to the whole question of revenue right mm-hmm. now. We have seen the old days when, my gosh, it didn't make any difference what else you did if you were a business in this town. You had to have an ad in the Democrat. Mm-hmm. If you had something else on Channel 6 or 27 or one of the radio stations, that was fine. But you had to be in the Democrat. Are those days gone forever, do you think?
No, they're not. We believe that you have to have an ad in – you have to market through one of our channels because we believe our audience is unmatched. I think we're having a great year, one of the best years that anybody in the company – in fact, I think the best year on a bottom line standpoint from anybody in our company. And we've seen some great success with our digital products. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that there's no digital product or service on planet Earth that exists that I know of that we can't fulfill. So all of the search, the pay-per-click, reputation management, email marketing – social, and retargeting. If it's out there, we can do it. We've got tremendous rich media opportunities just on our site, and we've got the Yahoo Network. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so, as people understand how much, you know, it's a great thing about Gannett is that they've got tremendous expertise on this kind of stuff. And so, we're able to really utilize that through our own, to utilize our own audience, but also, you know, if someone needs to reach the audience in Pocatello, Idaho, we can help them with that through, you know, various channels. So I'm very optimistic. As long as this digital audience continues to grow like it is, and I believe that it will, I think that, you know, this transition from print to digital advertising. And look, the loyal people to print, I mean, Publix has a pretty good marketing operation, right? I mean, they probably spend a lot of money researching what to do, and they're sticking a big fat insert in our paper every single week. They're not doing that because they view the Democrat and other daily newspapers as some sort of charity. They're doing it because they make more money than they're spending on that, which is how marketing's supposed to work. Same thing with Walmart and Best Buy and all of these big retailers. And so, you know, when you see – we've been able to show in the auto segment – that folks that are advertising in our paper using our products are actually gaining market share, that's pretty compelling stuff. And so, you know, a lot of people have heard this newspapers are dying silliness. The savvy ones are still using us and are seeing it grow their business while others are trying whatever the latest fad is. So we're very optimistic.
Well, but the Tallahassee Democrat did take a huge PR hit when you started charging for online content mm-hmm. because that was you were among the first organizations right. in the country to do that. And I remember all the hue and cry that came mm-hmm. out on the in the wake of that decision.
Yeah, and now, of course, much of the rest of the country has followed. And we have seen tremendous adoption. In fact, another one statistic where we lead our company is that 85% of our print subscribers have registered for the online access that they get for free as a print subscriber. And that's a – I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you figure the – you know, even the redemption on gift cards, you know, is only 90-95%, you know, people that buy a $50 gift card and then it never gets used. So to have that kind of adoption tells you that our digital products are vital and vibrant and engaging with our readership.
Is much of that just because of the media savviness of this particular market? Because being the seat of state government, you do have a demographic that seems mm-hmm. a bit more plugged in, a bit more involved in the happenings of the day.
I think,
and they need to have that fed.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think part of it is that the Democrat has done a good job with video. So you think of the things that you can't get in the print paper that you can get online. Maybe we'll figure out a way to have video in the newspaper someday. That kind of sounds like something out of Harry Potter. But the strong video adoption at the Democrat, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of these stand-ups where reporters talk to each other, kind of analyzing, or a reporter and editor analyzing a story, or we bring folks in. We just did that with the opening night's announcement. And so I think there's been some things that were done way before my time that were very effective in making our digital products desirable.
Saw something really sad the other day. Well, a couple of sad things, sadly. One was, and this went viral, the old Chicago Tribune newsroom. The before and the after of what they went through. And then I saw something similar for the Gainesville Sun not too terribly long ago, you know, the emptied out newsroom. Mm-hmm. You do not foresee that happening here?
Well, I think it has happened here, and I think some of it was not tragic. I mean, look, newspapers had, you know, obscene profit margins back in the 70s and 80s, and I would submit were in some respects shamefully overstaffed. And so when you have a monopoly, that's what happens. You find a way to spend all that money you're making, and some of it goes to the owners, and some of it and the, you know, incentive to cut cost is gone because there's all these profits. And so you end up with, you know, newsrooms that were just simply too big. Now, has all of the cutting been of fat? No. There's been some tragic losses at news organizations. But guess what? There have also been those in banks and in hospitals and in law offices and in manufacturing plants and elsewhere. It's what happens with the economy. And we can focus on that if we want and be sad about it. Or we can look and say, how can we do the best job we can do with the resources we have? And so, you know, that's what I choose to focus on. And there's, you know, there's folks that make a there's a cottage industry of you know, former journalists that like to reminisce about what it should be and point out mistakes in newspapers as if there weren't mistakes even back when we had lots of resources. You know, I used to get a kick when I was in Shelby. We moved our printing to Gastonia and something would happen. And people would say, well, you moved your printing to Gastonia. See, this is what happens. And I said, actually, we did that same thing like five or six times when we printed here. You know, again, I'm not saying that that the Democrat wouldn't have a better content operation with 40 people instead of 30. I'm saying maybe back when it was 100, maybe that was an embarrassment of riches that really weren't required. Look, I would love to have more, and my, you know, what I want to do is, and we've added resources since I've been here, these three positions. So, you know, what I want to do is grow revenue so that and we can get that flywheel turning the right way, where our growing audience leads to more revenue, which lets us grow our audience with more resources, which leads to more revenue, and kind of get that move in the right direction. I absolutely believe we can do that.
What are some of the things that you can talk about as far as some of the behind the scenes when it comes to, well, editorial page? Mm-hmm. I know that's as Bill Hatfield's kind of bailiwick there, but still, when you become the voice of the community and you have the people with the background who can bring something to a public issue and say, hey, here's what we think after taking a look at it from multiple directions. What is that process like? Because most folks just think, someone comes up with a wild hair and they stick it in the Democrat and I don't agree with it and it's horrible.
The way it usually works is somebody comes up with a wild hair and we stick it in the Democrat. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This was an area where you know, one of the things after spending so many years in Shelby and going to Fort Walton Beach that I reckon was an epiphany for me is the value of fresh eyes. It didn't make me any smarter than anybody else, but when you walk into this studio and you probably don't notice the chairs and the sound equipment and all this stuff like someone who walks in fresh and says, hey, why is that there? And what are those two chairs doing there? And why is the table round? And just a lot of those questions, there's a rational answer. And then to one of them, you might say, well, I don't really know why we do it that way. And it's because you focused on other things. So at the Democrat, the editorial page was a place that, as you know, folks focused on a lot of areas, it had, in my view, been a little neglected. And so we have really tried to ramp up, and I think, actually, I'm sure, successfully, a stronger editorial voice, higher quantity and quality of local editorials written by the Democrats' editorial board, which is listed on our page, which, you know, I chair, and I think it's important that I do that and have that leadership role. And William certainly has a strong voice, you know, and so we, that's been an important thing. And then I think we, as we have that stronger voice, it's going to bleed out into the rest of the section to make sure that the voices that are coming in from the community and elsewhere are relevant and strong and articulate and you know, on point to the issues of the day here in this market. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah, because that is something that a lot of papers, again, I guess we don't want to take anybody off, so we're going to back away from a strong community editorial policy, and we'll let the community columnists take the heat because, after all, they'd work for us anyway.
Right. No, that's not us, and hopefully people have seen that. We've taken some pretty strong views recently on the city budget and some other things. And so, you know, look, I believe with all my heart that that the newspaper's mission of holding the powerful accountable and being a good, strong community partner, that those are not mutually exclusive, that you can do them both, that we can express our views strongly but respectfully and backed up with data and then be ready to go, you know, have a beer with whoever it is that disagrees with us or whoever's position we have taken to task and say, hey, even though we're on a different place on this, we should be able to get along and still work for the betterment of our community even through disagreements on certain issues.
That can be a tough tap dance. There are numerous instances where particularly newspapers have been locked out of whether it's city commission meetings or anything else because they have taken that adversarial approach to these things.
We can only control our half of that equation. So if someone wants to, you know, get mad and lock us out, that's all they can do. But my job is to foster relationships in the community that make it hard for people to do that. And I just believe it can be done. And I think that, you know, ultimately our humanity is what defines us, not our political positions and political views. And so, you know, that's my aim. And we're going to fall short on that. There's times where I've looked at the tone of what we've done and said, oh, boy, that was a little snarkier than it needed to be. And then other folks are going to have a hard time when we hold them accountable. But, you know, that's for me, part of the joy of the job is to try to walk that tightrope and show people that it doesn't have to be this just kind of, you know, rank adversarialness. It can be a respectful dialogue.
Skip Foster, the publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, our guest on Perspectives today. 414-1234 is the number if you got a question for Skip or a concern or an observation that you'd like to share. The long distance number is 800-926-8809, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. And a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down the program menu and click Perspectives, because we archive past shows and try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs. Speaking of snark.
Here comes the zings.
Here comes the zings. Yeah, exactly. That has been, I think everyone who has sat in your seat in recent years has had to deal with that too, to have a kind of unaccountable blurb coming from the public at large to go into the paper. And some folks said, no, we only want to have the name and the address of the of the zinger on there. But you still have the anonymous zing. So
yeah. Well, I'm in the camp of preferring attributed commentary. Having said that, and to fully disclose, the zing's kind of meaner, angrier cousin was called Spout Off, and that was in the Daily News, and we discontinued Spout Off because it was just ugly and mean. Zings is a much brighter, kind of funnier, more clever compilation. And so I'm as long as we can keep it from being too, you know, too angry, then I'm willing to keep it on because it seems to be more popular here than Spout Off was in Fort Walton Beach. You know, having said that, it's discouraging to me when people say Zing is my favorite thing in the paper. That, to me, that's a challenge for us on the local content front. We've got to be more compelling and, you know, certainly not sensationalistic or anything, but we've got to find a way to have content that causes people to really want to get the paper or view it online. And not have Zing be their kind of content priority in the paper. So I take that as a kind of a personal challenge. So I recognize it is imperfect. I don't like the anonymity of it. And if somehow we aren't able to kind of keep it where I think it should be, I think that's something that we would look at. But right now, certainly in any sort of near future, I think it lives on and I enjoy it. And I think there's clever stuff in there. It just can't turn into, you know, especially now between now and November of 2016, the kind of death slog of the political scene that we're about to enter. I think it's important, you know, for it to not degenerate. And so we'll be keeping a careful eye on that. And I would certainly welcome any input on that from, you know, you or anybody else. sfoster@tallahassee.com is my email. And if you feel like Zings has kind of lurched off the rails, let me know.
Well, just like your one of your columns in today's edition, civility is
yes,
the key.
That's so. Right. Yeah, I agree.
To the phones we go. Let's say hi to Tim on Perspectives. Hey, Tim.
Hello. How's it going for everybody there?
Hey, it's going great, Tim. Thanks for giving us a yell.
Well, I appreciate you having Skip on, and I really appreciate Skip and William's leadership in bringing the newspaper back to, I think, prominence. I'm a subscriber, have been for years, and used to deliver it when I was in college. And it holds a special place in my heart and for many other of us. I just wanted to...
Hey, could you hang on just a second, Tim? I see we're coming up on a break, but we want to give you full throttle to give your question. So you hold on the line, and you'll be first in line when we come out of the break here on Perspectives at 414-1234. Right back. Back on Perspectives and picking up where we left off here with Tim, who had a question for our guest, Tallahassee Democrat publisher Skip Foster. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Tim, say all those nice things again in case anybody missed it, okay? Just kidding. Is Tim still there?
Yeah, you still there, Tim? Yeah, just talk to him. Okay. I don't think we scared him off, but let's go on to Preston then. We'll see if we get Tim back on the line. Hey, Preston.
Hello there.
Hey.
I guess I didn't see your column this morning. Look, I don't read the Democrat unless I absolutely have to. And the reason is because it's a Gannett newspaper. And Gannett is a singularly corrupt, anti-competitive news corporation. I mean, I bet that most of your listeners don't even know that Gannett owns the Florida State Student newspaper. So it's got an effective monopoly, print monopoly, you know, on this whole town. And I haven't seen anything improved in the Democrat at all except trying to improve its bottom line. And I'm sorry. I just don't. Thank you.
Well, that's okay, Preston. It certainly would take a unique talent to not read the paper and know that it hasn't improved, but... And we make no bones about owning FSVU. All I can tell you in terms of any sort of political philosophy is I've worked here for 7 months and nobody at Gannett has ever said a word to me about anything that the paper should espouse on its editorial page or elsewhere. We've recently written an editorial on the city's budget, very critical of its 23% tax increase and touting the merits of looking at cost cutting as a more effective tool than necessarily just raising taxes to that extent, and had, you know, what I think most have considered more of a kind of business approach to that particular issue. So, you know, I would encourage you maybe to read us more often, and you might have a different view of how we're operating.
I think the only thing, Skip, is that Preston may be tapping into something that I think a lot of folks had fear of. Regardless of the size of the market, there has been consolidation of media outlets to a large degree just over the past couple of decades. I mean, just, you know, we're having larger and larger organizations there, and the fear that that can reduce the amount of diversity of opinion or approach to news coverage that we maybe had 25, 30 years ago.
All I can tell you is there hasn't been in my interview process, that there hasn't been a word spoken by anybody at Gannett when it comes to editorial philosophy or anything to do with a political slant or bent on the news. So, I mean, if that's what Preston was getting at, I can only say that it just hasn't been the case here. I don't know any other way to address that.
Back to Tim, who has given us a recall.
Oh, welcome back, Tim.
Well, just again, real quickly, you know, Skip and William, I think, are doing some fantastic work of trying to restore the confidence in the Democrats. Skip, to you and your team, thank you on behalf of nonprofit agencies in town for continuing to be partners in our marketing efforts to help support all the various events that are held throughout the year. You guys are instrumental in helping us get the word out, and I just want to continue. Hopefully you'll continue that great tradition, and I appreciate that. The other part I just want to say, I'd love to see more coverage of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Don't screw with the comics. And keep Zing going.
Well, I would, Tim, thank you very much for that call. I screwed with the comics 20 years ago and won't ever do that again. I mean, even when you do a survey and 98% of the people say they want something, the 2% are already, you know, oiling up their torches and getting their pitchforks ready to march on the paper. So I don't ever do that. We have talked about the Bucks coverage. I mean, obviously, Winston being down there changes that dynamic. And so you're going to, you know, we're obviously not going to open up a Tampa bureau for that. But I think, making sure that our wire and other services that provide coverage of the Bucks, that we give that good play in our sports section will be important. And on the nonprofits, look, I mean, that's just what we do. We love those partnerships, and that will absolutely continue. We can't always say yes to everything that people want, but, you know, finding a way to highlight all the incredible work done by the nonprofits here. I met with somebody that was telling me that it's like a $1 billion part of the economy just in this region. It's a huge deal. So thank you for saying that, and we'll definitely keep that up.
Appreciate it, Tim. Let's go to line three and Kathy, who is on hold. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you so very much.
Hi, Kathy.
I want to be up front. I'm a former employee of two Gannett newspapers, one of them being the Democrat, although it was not a Gannett paper when I worked there. And as a former print journalist, I just wanted to share a concern with you. I don't know how it happened, but I would love to know. I was absolutely appalled when I saw Commissioner Proctor's name misspelled in a Page One headline the other day. And I was curious to know how that happened and what you're doing to prevent similar things from happening going forward. Because that, just to me, that destroys a newspaper's credibility.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, what I tell people is this is a marathon, not a sprint, in terms of our team working to figure out how to best edit the paper and to improve accuracy. You know, I think it definitely needs some work, and we've got some processes that we see that we need to put in place that we have not been able to implement yet. Only been 6 months, only four for William. And so we got a long way to go there, because you're right. You know, we can do 10 good things and it's undermined by one bad one. So that stuff is not okay. We recognize that it's got to be improved. But we think we've got the resources to get it done, but procedurally there's things that aren't right, and we've got to get those fixed, and will.
And I noticed, Skip, just from our viewpoint, the need now to – you don't even wait for the next newscast. In our case, we have to go ahead and get everything just like you guys do online,
right,
even more quickly than it may appear on the air. And sometimes the online version contains problems that, you know, translate over to the on-air version and vice versa.
Yeah, it's funny. The online part has helped our print accuracy in some respects, because if there's some error in an online story or a factual error, or, hey, it wasn't that street, it was this street, you know, either we see it or other people see it and we're able to get it fixed for the print edition. That's not the way you want it to work, of course, but you know, it's definitely a different environment where the you don't have the luxury of three or four edits on a story that's going to get posted, you know, immediately online like you would when you're writing it at 10 a.m. and it doesn't have to actually, you know, go on the press till midnight.
Yeah, sadly, the days of the legendary editor Ron Hartung are probably over. Yeah. Although Ron's doing really good at the College of Medicine. I talked to him the other day. Let's see. Amy, I think, was next in line. She's on line four. Hi, Amy. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you very much. I'm calling because I have a suggestion for a story. You had mentioned the tragic death of Ansley Rayburn.
Yes.
And shortly after that occurrence, there was a couple of murders in Tallahassee, and the alleged murders are products of Tallahassee. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for murders, but I also think whatever caused them to become murders is a tragedy.
Yes.
And I would be interested in how those young men evolved and the events in their life that unfolded that caused this tragic ending for our community. I feel like they must have been cute kindergartners at one point in their lives.
Well, I think that's an excellent suggestion, and it's interesting. I've had a number of conversations just in the last week about editorial board, have had multiple editorial board meetings, back to Tim's point, with nonprofits that deal with children that are in tough circumstances, either have been abandoned or are in trouble or on the verge of getting in trouble. And, you know, a lot of these kids are show up at kindergarten not knowing their ABCs or colors. And then we're real quick as a society to call them thugs, you know, when they're 15-year-olds committing crimes. But there's a story there about how they were raised. And so I think it was Amy, right? That's a great suggestion and the kind of things that we need to get into. So I appreciate that.
And something that really a daily metropolitan newspaper has the capability to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Matthew's on line one. Let's get to him next on Perspectives. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how are you? I just had a quick question. As a teacher here in town, if you had any insight as to how you might plan on covering the upcoming superintendent election. It hasn't been necessarily that unbiased in the past with some of the old school political ties in town, and just curious if you had some insight as to how you guys were going to cover that.
Well, tell me more about the bias that you've seen.
I guess like a leaning towards blank check for incumbent or some old school Tallahassee families. Not being born around this area, I was introduced to the term the good old boy network.
Right.
And it seems to have been alive and well, at least with your previous editor.
Well, I'll leave that comment to you. But in terms of going forward, I think your question is fair and a good one. And, you know, we've already – I guess it leads me back to an old Shelby story. We had four high schools in Shelby. Prep football was a huge deal there. And I'll never forget coming in one – I saved these for a long time. But I came in one Monday morning – and there were voicemails from fans of all four of the high schools claiming that we had screwed them, basically, in our coverage that weekend of high school football, which I'm pretty sure – maybe there's somebody in the mathematics department here at FSU, but I don't think you can simultaneously be biased against the only four members of any certain subset. So we've already had some complaining from all of the camps that we're not treating those folks fairly. And, you know, it's an art, not a science. We do the best we can do. And we try, you know, we talk about being fair to them a lot. We have tough calls on what we publish and what we don't publish, and, you know, the people don't see. That's kind of the iceberg under the ocean. But there's a lot of information that comes in that we have to look at and say, you know, that's, we're just not going to do that. That's, or even within a story, we're going to leave that particular fact out because we think it's either more prejudicial than helpful or whatever. So, you know, the real answer is, Matthew, we're going to just do the best we can. I don't have a favorite, and not, I don't play favorites in those kind of races. We'll just be as fair as we can be and listen to all parties. And, I mean, there's certainly been times where somebody has said to me, hey, you know, you're not being fair, and here's why. And we've looked at it and said, yeah, maybe there's a point there, and figured out how we could do to address that, or have said, boy, we appreciate that person's opinion, but we just really don't think that's right. We think we are being fair. So it's a tough tightrope. We're not going to be run by – I don't know who the good old – boy. I hadn't met the good old boys yet. I've been in here 7 months. I don't know who they are. I'm sure not one of them. They're not going to dictate our coverage. We're going to just do the best we can to be as fair as we can be. And look, that race is complicated. I mean, you've got a federal investigation. You've got all sorts of personal differences between candidates. You've got a someone who in Mr. Maddox that is, I think, an outsider to the education establishment. He certainly had some connections in terms of teachers in his life. You've got Mr. Pond and Mr. Hanna that have been a long time. I mean, it's a fascinating race, multi-textured, and it will be a challenge for us to cover, that's for sure.
Yes, but there will be endorsements by the
no,
Democrats.
No, we will not. We and that's an announcement I made soon after I came here, is that we – and this race, I think, is a perfect example of why – it's going to be tough enough for us to be fair with our coverage and for there to be a perception that we're fair without endorsing. If we endorse, then that just casts a whole new cloud over it. And my main objection is it means we're kind of married to the endorsee throughout their time. And so I think people look at the next 4 years of coverage and say, oh, well, they're going easy on the superintendent because that's who they endorsed, or they're going hard on him because they endorsed the other guy. Well, we don't need all that. We're going to focus on issues and policies and not, you know, insult voters by presuming to tell them who they should vote for.
And if you think things are rough there in the superintendent's race, look at that county commission seat that's being vacated by Jane Sauls. You have seven contenders there.
Yes. Yeah. It looks like a GOP presidential primary, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to do that because we do those programs here, too. I don't have room at this table for seven candidates.
That's right. That's right.
We may have to move it to the Civic Center or something. Yep. Larry's hanging on line, too. Thanks for your patience, Larry. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead.
Welcome to town. And I've got mixed opinions. I was very distraught with what was going on at the Democrat before, and I hope that some of that has changed. I'm afraid some of it won't. I'm afraid that some of their staff at the Democrat have got a much too cozy relationship with some of the powers that be in this community. And I haven't seen a whole lot of change. I'm pretty discouraged in the coverage of the city and county commission meetings, and that usually and sometimes there's no reporting after a commission meeting the next Wednesday or Thursday. But it's usually just one sexy issue that gets covered. And I asked Bob Gabordi, when he came to town, he talked about how the newspaper had a responsibility as a paper of record of this community. To put that out there, quite frankly, I think that the way you're going to survive has got nothing to do with the Internet. I don't think that's where the challenge is. The challenge is that you're not providing an essential service to the citizens of this community, one that if it was essential, you would have a much more subscribers, you would have a bigger base, and you'd be able to get more money out of your advertisers. You definitely should be publishing the vote tallies of those commission meetings the next day. And when I asked Gabordi that, his answer was, well, you can get that from the clerk. Well, that's not that easy. And in a lot of cases, those minutes and things are not produced for months after the meetings. I'm discouraged at the Gannett, and whereas I appreciate you from having an outside perspective come in here, there's no real historical DNA that people understand what these rascals that are in there have done in the past, because the town is moving so many people in here, and in fact, as I see things, It's the DeVell State Cartel that runs this town, and they want it that way. They don't want to have the memory of the history of what's going on here. They are the ones who pay to basically what we have is what I don't see as democracy. I see prostitution. I'm very glad to hear that you're not going to endorse, because that was a total fraud, which I can actually document.
Yeah. Well, I think you make some good points there. And, you know, meeting coverage is a challenge for us, because while there's lots of important things that go on, there's also some pretty painful minutiae that, you know, frankly, is just a waste of our time and space to report on, you know, individual zoning variance applications and some of the really inside baseball. And that's a struggle for us, is how do we fulfill our watchdog role at these meetings by providing the most relevant information. I don't know any reason why, if we report on an issue, we shouldn't, and it's voted on, that we shouldn't report on the vote. So if we're not, you know, I feel like we're doing that. If we're not doing that, that's an easy thing for me to check on. So thanks for your question.
Appreciate that, Larry. And that brings us to the end of the hour. Skip Foster, publisher of the Tennessee Democrat, thanks so much for coming
Thank
on
you.
Today.
Had a ball.
Okay. And we'll be reading the paper.
Great.
Every morning. Reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org, and we're a production of WFSU-FM with Lydell and Taylor doing the deed today. I'm Tom Flanagan. We'll be talking about mental health issues next week right here on Perspectives. Hope you can join us then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.